Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord loves us. He cares about us in every way and in every capacity. He's looking to bless his people. And he wants us to know him. The Lord has a plan for our lives. When we study the lives of others in the Word of God, God always had goodness towards them. He always had a plan in mind. A way to do what should be done. He had good intentions towards all of his people, and he cares about us all, as individually and collectively. You got to remember, the mind of God is much broader than ours. And the Lord helps people to make adjustments. That's something that every man, since from Adam to the last man born, we all have in common. As we quest to learn the Lord, our God and King, we have to make adjustments. We grow from glory to glory, Paul wrote about. And it's a continual road. It's a blessed road. But this is the thing. When you embrace what the Lord says, you know, the good and honest heart receives the word of God and brings forth fruit with patience. And so, when that process is happening, the more you embrace, as you learn, the more you will see in the Word of God. It's easier to receive and comprehend what the Lord is saying. It's much easier once you've learned, once you receive what the Lord has said, it's much easier to live. But people will disagree because what they do, they learn some facts about the Lord, and they try to make it work. And it's a struggle, but the more you learn, the easier it really gets, because the Lord, he's given us covenant wisdom, covenant knowledge, covenant counsel, covenant might, covenant understanding through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the fear of the Lord, he's given us covenant fear of the Lord. And the reason I say covenant, because this is what God agrees with. This can be our agreement with God together. When that happens, when these processes happen and you receive the word, then you believe the word. Receiving is first, believing is second. And when you act on it, you're in full agreement. In order to act on it, you have to be in full agreement. If you're not in full agreement, you're going to partially act on it. And if doubt enters in, it hinders the process if it doesn't stop the process. So, when we receive the word of God, we believe it, we act on it, it becomes faith. And an active faith, Pastor talks about having active faith, having active faith in your life. That's where your testimonies come from. And the only way to receive the kind of insight that it's going to give you, you have to continually follow God to the next train of thought. You keep holding fast to what you already know, what you already experienced. Now, finished faith becomes knowledge. Wisdom is first. Wisdom is the trust of truth. We hear the word of God. We can sense the wisdom in it. And the bigger we measure it, the greater it's measured back to us. So when we receive the word of God in our hearts, then we can, and we act on it as a way of life. You began to know the Lord. You have a reference for who he is. Then when he tells you to do something that's beyond your imagination or beyond the way you think, you'll do it because you trust him now. Trust is always based on past experience. So, the same thing with the Lord. Now, follow this process as we follow Peter. Peter is our hero. He was always seeking to know the Lord, asking questions, and humbling himself. Now, see, a true version of humility, I want to clear that up first before we go any further. Some people think that a humble person is just a person that acts like they can't, or they act subservient and they don't do anything. No. A humble person is a person who receives what God says and obeys it. True humility obeys God. False humility disobeys God and acts submissive, but it's really not. True humility, it's submitting yourselves therefore to God. Then when you resist the enemy, he flees. But see, in submitting yourselves to God, you're also doing what God says. You're in obedience. And if you're in obedience, you're in agreement. If you're in agreement, it's covenant. So follow the process. The Lord comes to us and he knows what we are, and he also knows this, what we're fully capable of in him. If he has your attention, you're on the road to every form of success there is. Remember, there is no poverty in full obedience to God. You can't obey God. There's no poverty in obedience. In fact, disobedience is the first cause of poverty. Okay, now, it's not about money. I'm not talking about that kind of wealth. I'm talking about the wealth of knowledge and understanding the Lord. And remember, a minister said this a long time ago, money is the lowest form of prosperity. Because money can only buy you what man can do. It can buy you made possessions that men can make, that men can develop, or develop because they learn something from the Lord, like the knowledge of a doctor. Okay, Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought, for a great haul of fish. Okay, a drought is a great haul of fish. A fantastic day for a fisherman. verse 5, and Simon, now here we first meet Simon, Peter. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Now watch this now. We first meet Simon. He heard the word of Jesus. He trusted him. Simon would not have normally let down any more nets after what he went through. But this is a great example of trusting Jesus. He went beyond what he would normally do because Jesus said do it. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And all that were with him, they were astonished too at the drought of fish which they had taken. And so was also James, the son, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see that? When you have faith in you, as a grain of mustard seed, you can develop into the full will of God. They're going from catching fish at the order of Jesus, a great multitude of fish at the order of Jesus, to a great multitude of men at the call of Jesus. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Okay, now they're all in a covenant agreement. They're ready for business. They're going to follow Jesus. But guess what? They're just like we are. They all have adjustments that need to be made. These adjustments are easy when you have a coach, when you have the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth, just like they had Jesus to guide them in all truth. The problem is modern day culture, modern day Christendom in many places, they excluded the personal, everyday, moment-by-moment relationship with the Holy Spirit. and they rely on teaching only. But see, when you have the Holy Spirit is with you always, He's with you always, and He's always ready to give you information. You just have to follow the peace. Now, adjustments must be made. We don't know everything about God. We're on a quest to learn who He is. So Jesus gave him something to go on. Okay. This is Matthew verse 5, chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses from this just to give an example. And I'm going to refer to the rest as much as possible. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So the disciples were there. And they're hearing what he says. The people are hearing and they're there with him. They're committed. They're in covenant agreement. But guess what? Every time you hear the word of God, you grow. Every time you hear from the Holy Spirit, you grow. And they're about to grow some more. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word poor, in the Jewish mind, a poor person was cursed. The Pharisees wore their robes and they looked down on the poor people. They didn't go around the poor people. They didn't care about it. They're peasants and they need to stop being cursed in the mind of the average Jew because of the way the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin council and the priests of all people and the Sadducees. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Also, the poor in spirit are the people who drink, and they're prostitutes, and they do all kind of things. But they know that they need help. And this is the kind of people that God can work with, more than those that are arrogant. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Some people mourn, Lord, I'm not worthy, I'm not right. Peter said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus, all he wants is people that will look to him. If you can look to Jesus, you got faith as a grain of mustard seed. And you can become the full measure of God's will in your life. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom. People who have power. And they are meek. They don't use their power for evil. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now this is a key word. I'm going to come back to it. Hunger. Hunger is the key word. I want to say something else about meat people. Some people have grown from glory to glory, and they have a wealth of knowledge because they've trusted God. In that sense, they are meek with they have the knowledge of God. But I have seen and witnessed this. There are people that look to them because of their faithfulness. And then they treat that person rude. People that look to them like that, and they treat them as nothing. I've seen this happen, even against me, when I was much younger. Now, most people of God are not that way. But see, you got to remember, pride will hurt you. It will work against you. And when the Lord taught me to love his people, he taught me about that and how to forgive people when they act that way. But I watch. When people act that way, they always fall. Okay, hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for right after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you have hunger, your heart attaches the word of God and clamps onto it, holds onto it. And you build your life. And you learn the things that happens only after you finish your faith. See, more knowledge is coming after your faith is finished. And if you stick with it and hold on to it and stay hungry for it. See, I'm not just hungry for the new revelation. I'm still hungry for the revelations that God gave me that were foundational way back in 1987, 88, 89. I remember different milestones. I'm hungry for that knowledge now. And I embrace it and I use it in life. That's why I can still talk about it as if it just happened yesterday. So again, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I look at the word as feeding your spirit. and praise and worship and singing psalms, that's like water to your spirit. That's like drinking good cold water to your spirit, man. If you want to break yokes, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you'll break all of Satan's yokes. All of his fiery darts will be quenched. And then you start, don't just stop there. Shoot them back at him. Shoot your fiery darts at him. Speak the word of God over your life. Let yourself hear yourself tell Satan, you will never give me that again. I will never receive that again. I will never sway. Whatever the weakness was in past tense, it'll never be again from this time forward. And your hunger keeps you secure in the Lord. So when greater things come, when greater glories come, because you're hungry, you're going to latch onto it and you won't let it slip. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Along the path of this life, when you're being a blessing to people that's not being a blessing to you, one day, if you get off track and make a false step, God's going to have mercy on you. You'll have mercy in the bank. You'll have mercy in your heavenly account, and you need it. I'm going to tell you something. Before the Lord gave me the greater assignments, for a season of about 6 years, more or less, 6 years or more, I put it that way. I know it was 6 years. In those days, I learned authority from Kenneth Hagin between the years of 1990, it was 89 or 90, to 1995. I moved in 96, so that's 6 years. 89 to 2006, I mean 96 when I moved away. During those times, after I heard the series that Mr. Austin let me use, I learned about authority, and the Lord schooled me about authority. That's when he said, I said, Lord, what if I rebuke the enemy and he don't leave? He said, when you tell the enemy to go, he's got to go. He said it three times. The third time I was scared to ask again. He said it so loud. When you tell Satan to leave, he's got to leave. I didn't ask again. Well, the gunfight started right after that. I had already given the tapes to Mr. Austin. But I had that word in my heart, nobody ever died. See, using authority to help others, and they were drug dealers, and innocent people around them had nothing to do with their foolishness. I protected others, and that put protection for my life in the bank. Now, 2000 came around, and the Lord said, I've given you your life. You will not die by the hand of men. He told me that. And since then, things happen. One time I got sick. Another time I got knocked off the motorcycle, hit by a car on the freeway doing 60. I was just getting on there. I almost got ran over by two cars, but I said, Jesus. And I said it again, Jesus. And I knew I would live and not be broke up. And I was not. I'm healed. And my leg, that limped right after that because I landed on my left knee. Elder May prayed for me. I saw the anointing on him. He prayed for me, and I never had any trouble with it since. So when you have mercy in your account, God can work with it. Always remember these things. Blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People that are pure, their intentions are pure. They see what others don't. They see easier. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I wish people taught this more, but you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you make the stand, let your light shine and don't compromise, because sometimes that's the gateway to others entering in the kingdom of God. Your kindness. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I talked to Ray, he's a scientist. This kind of salt is actually more like fertilizer and salt, but it's the kind that will cause things to grow. Well, your salt protects meat, you know, in that sense. Salt protects meat from rotting. They didn't have refrigeration in those days, but the way they cured their meat was with salt. Fish, whatever clean meat they used, they used salt to cure it. Then he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are therein in the house." And he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." Remember, Jesus is talking to poor people, common people, that the Pharisees will definitely look down on. But the Jewish mind is being restored into the glorious love of God. Now, and he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus didn't just fulfill the law, and he did it by love. He fulfilled also the prophets. Very important to be the Messiah. Okay, I'm going to stop it here, and I'm going to refer to the others. In Matthew chapter 16, now remember, all the while his disciples are making adjustments. Peter is making adjustments in the way he thinks, in the way he processes, learning the love of God, learning to receive others, learning to be merciful. In a culture that was opposite, seeing where he was right and also seeing where he was wrong, making adjustments, growing from glory to glory. You have to make adjustments. They're all necessary. So Matthew chapter 16, after being with Jesus for a while, Peter was hungry. Because of his hunger, he was very curious. And I like curious people. Matthew 14. I love when people are curious, because then God can move in their life. See, everything Jesus ever done, it was always in league with the Father. All right. Verse 21. They had just fed 5,000. Verse 21. "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone, spending time with his Father. That's why he went up the mountain to pray." How are you going to minister and represent God if you don't know him? Impossibility. But he took time away from his disciples, away from his work, the people. He sent them away and went and spent time with the Father to get refreshed, to get Now, yesterday's broadcast, or last broadcast, I mentioned something. The Lord used to give me a season of training, and I loved it. Then he gave me a season of duty where I went out and minister what he trained me. Then he gave me a season of rest. And I saw the wisdom of God. It wasn't like every week he trained me and had me doing something. No. He trained me. He took time with me. Then he had me to go to different churches. That may last a few weeks. And give messages to people. Then he gave me a season of rest. And in that season, I asked the Lord my questions, what personal things. And then all of a sudden, the word of the Lord had come to me saying something again. He's training me now. And that pattern continues. Okay, he brings things to me. Sometimes the Old Testament prophets they'll say the word of the Lord came to me saying. They didn't know to ask for it, but the word of the Lord came to them. That's training. Okay, he spent time with his Father. Okay, verse 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Now, looking at the mind of God, he knows how to work with his people. he gave them a visual that will last a lifetime, and not only their lifetime, but every lifetime. of anybody who receives this information. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. They're used to old Jewish traditions again. And Jesus is going to deal with that too, along with many other things. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. See, when your eyes is on Jesus, you can do things you normally can't do. When your mind is on the Word of God, you fill your heart with the Word, you can do things you normally cannot do. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherewith didst thou doubt? The Lord is pulling for us. He don't want us to doubt. He wants us to know him. He wants us to receive what he's saying so our life can heal properly. He wants us to go forward. He has, see, the mind, Jewish mind was being renewed every day by day, spending time with Jesus, learning lessons that you can't learn anywhere else. Now watch this. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they were in the ship, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. This is what they all said. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. So they're beginning to see the miracles and all the things that happen that he's doing. Okay, let's skip on over to Matthew 16. Jesus said, verse 13, And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Now watch how he walked on water. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that goes for all of us who believe on our Savior Jesus Christ. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples. Now our hero just heard what Jesus said. He just walked on water. Now he claims that Jesus is the Son of God. He's really growing, isn't he? But watch what happens next. See, even though we're growing, we still need adjustments. Verse 20, Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him, being confident, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, now watch this adjustment. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. The enemy worked through his desire to see Jesus conquer. But he didn't know the full plan. When you have partial information, and that's the problem of the modern church now, they have a knowledge of God without the adjustments that need to be made because they don't spend time with their Father and receive what the Holy Spirit has to say. And the enemy has reduced their ministry to a limitation. Every ministry should be unlimited. Every child of God has the power within them and from the Lord to finish a glorious work and be thoroughly effective. You don't have to have a platform such as a pastor does. You don't have to have a radio broadcast or a television broadcast to be effective. You don't even have to write a book. But there are things the Holy Spirit can do in your life. The prayers you can pray. Your prayers avail much. You can be a little old lady in a hospital bed and see something on the news and pray over it and change the facts on the ground and make a great difference. As long as you believe God without doubt in your heart. What we're capable of is off the charts. And when you look at the course of your life, what if you made Holy Ghost decisions every day? What if you made at least 30 Holy Ghost decisions every day? What if you just made 10 every day? Over the course of your life, things will change rapidly. What if you embraced every word that God gives you? And this is what happens. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, guess what Peter did? He also said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, Peter heard this. Peter embraced another adjustment. You didn't see Peter trying to get Jesus not to die anymore. Now, Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go.